Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition and the first of the 2024 regular season of Cubs on Tap. I am Ron Luce. We have a trio of panelists tonight beside myself. Again, Ron Luce, joined by Nick Hudson and Mr. Joey Rakota. He's coming off a mute because everything's a little delayed on his end. So, Nick, how are you doing tonight, buddy? Happy opening day, my friend.
Happy opening day to you. I'm doing fantastic, man. It's just so great to have baseball back. It's going to be great to break this one down. Wasn't exactly the result we wanted, but, you know, can't complain. Baseball's back.
Ain't that the damn truth? Baseball is back. Joey, we'll see if we can get you off of mute here. I don't know what's going on. It's night one for us, just like it is night one for the Cubbies as well, folks. We're a little rusty, and so we're the Cubbies tonight. But before Joey gets to chime in and tell us how he's doing, again, I want to welcome everybody tonight. This is episode 2 of season 6. Our first show was our preview show that we had last week. But before we get into everything tonight, I want to remind everybody, be sure to follow us on X and Instagram. We are at Cubbies on Tap. Also, be sure to follow us on YouTube at On Tap Sportsnet. Rate, subscribe, review, you know the drill. We appreciate you guys and all of your support. Make sure when you go over to YouTube, hit that little bell button. You always know when all of our shows go live, especially here at Cubs on Tap. He's back. He's ready to tell us what's going on. Joey Rakota, happy opening day, my friend. How you doing, buddy?
Happy opening day, boys. Sucks that we finished this one in a loss, but
it did.
We got bonus baseball. It was a good game. You know, 4-3 game. Obviously, we're going to get into all of it, but can't really complain too much. Like, how long? It's just felt like so long since we've had a game that we can care about and a game that, you know, there's that drama feeling, especially towards the end. So to be able to get that late in a game like this with the Cubs, first game of the season, I'm happy with it overall, even despite the circumstances. And I'm sure we're going to get all into it. But, yeah, man, it's good to be back.
Indeed, it is good to be back. Joey, you put it perfectly, man. You know, extra free baseball tonight. Fun fact, from friend of the program, we finally get to say it, boys, Mr. Cole Wright. This is just the 15th time that the Cubs have gone to extra innings on opening day since 1906. So that's some crazy shit right there. But just so it goes to show how good of a baseball game that we have to recap here tonight. And boys, you said it best, from a scoring summary perspective, Cubs lose this one, unfortunately, by a final score of 4-3 in 10 innings. But to start the scoring off, it was that Morel triple that got things going. Swanson ultimately scored him on the sacrifice fly. But, I mean, guys, Christopher Morel came out firing hard. I thought if it was a little higher and just a little farther, my pick for our dingers would have hit right out the gate. I would have been a really happy camper. But it's good to see Christopher Morel getting the offense started early on. Boys, quickly here. I mean, how did you guys feel in that moment with that Christopher Morel triple? It really felt like baseball was back.
Fantastic. I felt it in my veins. I'm like, yes, let's go.
Yeah, if that didn't elicit a fist pump on your couch, then nothing will. Because there is nothing more fun than a triple, number one. And true. Number two, it's Christopher Morel, who is just the most fun player probably that the Cubs have. So. Him kicking that off, like, it was awesome. It just got the feeling back right off the bat.
Sure did. And again, Swanson had the sack fly that made it 1-0 Cubbies, but not too much later, the Rangers strike back. A sack fly from the youngster Langford, the phenom, the guy that is setting records. He only played 44 minor league games before getting his big league call up.
He's terrifying.
He is terrifying. He looks good. He looks good on my fantasy team in one of my leagues, Joey. I took him in one of my drafts because he made the team, and he was worth taking. But, again, Nick Madrigal may have missed a play at third base, too, in that sequence that ultimately led to the one run. But it made it 1-1. Everybody was okay, though. Justin Steele was dealing at the time. But then Seiya Suzuki doubles, and this is all, mind you, after Justin Steele comes out of the game. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But Seiya Suzuki doubles, he gets on second base, and then Belly, that two-strike approach, a double for the lead, puts it down the first base line. I think we were all feeling good and humming when Bellinger came back. It makes everything feel perfect and just right. The 2-3 hitters delivering in the clutch, gentlemen. I mean, how good did it feel to see Belly delivering in the 2-strike approach once again?
Fantastic. And that's what makes Bellinger different than he used to be. He's got this 2-strike approach that's just amazing. It's come out of nowhere. We saw it last year as well. Awesome.
It really has been. It's really been a revelation, right, Joey? I mean, this was something that he truly found coming to the Cubbies in 2023.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's what you need in the middle of your lineup. With, I mean, of course, you want someone who's going to hit for that thump. But like, I was at bat later in the game too, not to like jump ahead, but you know, watching his at bat later in the game, I think he took a pitch for a third strike at one point. Maybe it was the eighth inning or something. Can't remember the exact inning, but you could tell there's two outs, there's nobody on base, and he's trying to hit a long ball. Like, it didn't look like there was a ton of choking up. It's not like he was swinging wildly, but like that's a perfect example of a hitter that's starting to, not only like does he have the approach with the two strikes, but I think he's starting to mature and realizing when it's okay to go for it, like try to hit for bombs, and then when it's okay to just put the ball in play, hit line drive. So early in the game, or like that, or you know, not too far into the game, when he hits that and drives Seiya in, I mean, that's Belly just being Belly in that 2-strike approach, and it's so awesome to see that.
Yeah, well put. A guy that almost had 100 RBIs last season, only playing 130 games. So a testament to that 2-strike approach, especially with men on base. Gentlemen, from there, though, things went south once again. Adolis Garcia showing why he is the phenom. He is 39 home runs a season ago, 107 ribbies, and he has the first long ball of this game. Sends it into the left field, outfield, bleachers, seats, whatever you want to call them down there in Texas. That ties the game at 2 apiece. And then, guys, we got into this one late before there was any more scoring. It was a 2-2 draw into this one. Base running chaos is what we call it here in our rundown today, because it should have been a foul ball, folks. It really should have, as replay showed. But Mastroboni swings through a pitch. The umpire calls it a pass ball on Jonah Heim, and he tries to argue his case in the middle of the play, and they let it happen. Michael Busch heads up base running, comes all the way around from second to score. That ultimately gives the Cubs the lead. Gentlemen, I was flying high at that moment. I didn't know what the hell was happening. But we're flying high. The Cubs have the lead. It's the top of the ninth inning at this point. We're going to talk more in depth about Michael Busch here in a little bit, but what a heads up play from Michael Busch in that situation.
Very heads up. He did not give up on the play, unlike Jonah Heim, totally gave up on it. He just kept going. And yet, like you said, being up in the ninth, I had such a good feeling. You obviously know how that plays out, but it was a great baseball play. Honestly, it just shows you play through the play. Everyone knows that when you're being brought up young, you play all the way till the play's over. So Jonah Heim knew he messed up in that moment for sure. But, you know, heads up by Busch, just coming into the league and taking advantage of that. It's great to see from young guys like that.
Indeed, indeed it is. Joey, I mean, were you flying just as high as the rest of us in the top of the ninth?
Big time, man. Because first of all, second of all, if that would have happened on the other side, and I put this in our little text chat, dude, I would have been irate. Like, we caught the biggest break that you can possibly catch. First of all, how that's not challengeable? Is it just not challengeable? Like, I need clarification on that, because I haven't really looked
at it. You can't challenge it. They said in the broadcast it's not reviewable.
Okay, so then I mean,
yeah, it's not.
it's a crime that's not. Like, that should be reviewable, because if that happens on the other side of things against the Cubs – We are sitting on this show a completely different tune, unless for the team that wins, I guess, which is what happened in their case. But ball don't lie, like Tyler said in our text chat. Ball don't lie. And I mean, but Michael Busch, man, hands down, hands up, or you know, whatever you want to say to him, like, super awesome of him to have that hustle and awareness of just, hey, if he's gonna kind of sit there and complain to the ump about it being foul, I'm just going to take off and go. The ball's still there. It's still live in his eyes. Yeah. So my eyes too. And I'm going to score that run. So hats off to Michael Busch. Really seemed, he had a really good game. I want to talk about him in a little bit, but he had a really solid game.
We definitely will talk about him in a little bit. Scott from the comment section here saying can't challenge a foul ball before first or third base. And that was why that play was not reviewable. And that's just what the rule is later. We'll touch on that a little bit later, a new addition to our upcoming rundown here for the rest of the show. But gentlemen, let's get into the rest of the game here, the scoring as it goes. Jankowski pinch hit home run to help send this thing into extras. Probably should have been the walk-off home run, but it was what it was. And we go to extras tied 3-3. The Cubs strand runners in the top of the 10th. Nothing for the Cubbies there. They had men on second and third. Unfortunately, they're just not able to get it done and get the run in. Actually, they had bases loaded, as a matter of fact. Not able to get the run in. It sends it to the bottom of the 10th. Drew Smyly ultimately gives up a bunch of base runners, and a walk-off became an easy thing for the Rangers here tonight. And that leaves us with our 4-3 final. Quickly, gentlemen, before we get into all the fun stuff here and all our analysis, I want to give a big shout out to the comment section and go through some of these here. From Rob German, who says, hey, a little bit earlier in the show, he said he's glad Council is running Smyly and Almonte out there so they can justify benching and replacing them later in the season. Hank with an excellent comment here. Belly's always looks super chill, never panicking or anxious. Love his approach at the plate. Reed Mouse telling Joey Lajani cheese is the goat. That's for
Reed.
You. Mr. Ricotta. Mr. Hey, Scott so, here.
So shout out to Reed. Nick Kirby and did a show with him in the Chatterbox, and Reed was on that show. He's also with Chatterbox. Big Cubs fan, though, so he drives Nick Kirby and all those guys, the Reds fans. Nuts over there, so super cool.
We like to have that
Reed here. Yeah,
beautiful.
We converted him over. He's got to be over here. He's got to be on our show now, talking Cubs too. So that's awesome.
Absolutely, we'll get Reed into the mix here over the course of the season. Good to see you, Reed. Thanks for joining us here in the comment section. The loyalty from Mr. Scott from Iowa saying tonight's takeaways: 1, Nico winning another Gold Glove; 2, Buster's baseball IQ premier. We'll talk about that in a little bit. 3, not enough people talk about the value of Al Leiter Jr. I believe he meant Mark Leiter Jr. That's neither here nor there. And 4, Morel is going to smash this year. I hope he feels that way as well. We got to that one already. Hank said Texas pitchers thinking every pitch they throw is a strike kept me cracking up all game long. And finally, the last one, Scott saying can't wait for the umpire grade cards. Cubs got hosed on the lower right strike zone. I completely agree. So again, big shout out to the comment section. Again, if you are watching along, whether that be on X or on YouTube, please chime in the Twitter in the comment section, just like Rob is here saying Leiter was great tonight. And that's one of our leadoff analysis points here that we will get to in just a minute. But we always appreciate you guys joining in the comment section, and be sure to do so again. If you are watching on X, we can see your comments now. StreamYard has fixed that. So although you are used to watching in silence, you can join the conversation just like all of our great YouTube listeners here, especially people like Darren, who we appreciate coming in here. It says, sharpen your shovel, Craig Counts. We got holes. Indeed we do, and we will discuss some of those. And one of those holes could be potentially created from what happened tonight to Justin Steele, gentlemen. We're going to start breaking things down from this game. Justin Steele gets hurt. It's not great, Bob. We were all freaking out collectively together in our group chat on the side. He made a play on a sack bunt. It was a great play as well, but he comes up grabbing his left hamstring. He is able to walk off under his own power at the time. My initial thought to it is it's better than him grabbing his knee. If he grabbed his knee, I probably would not have been coherent enough to do the show, because every bit of me would have blacked out for the rest of the course of the game, because that is just a tragic injury. And at the end of this game, we heard from Craig Counsell. He says a likely IL stint is in the future for Justin Steele. We don't know what length that is. It could be a 10-day. It could be a 15-day. So he could miss 2 starts. Maybe he misses 3 starts. It feels like 2 starts, according to Justin Steele, though. When they talked to him, he didn't sound as concerned as Council did. So that will be a situation we will monitor as a collective group. But gentlemen, let's dive into it. I mean, I think, you know, Steele was cruising. 4 2/3 innings, he only gave up the run. He looked like ace Justin Steele, the guy that we know and love here at Cubs on Tap. And then the injury, and it felt like a very brief moment of pause within the Cubs fan base of like, holy shit, if Justin Steele is hurt, especially with no Jordan Montgomery addition in the rotation, no Tyler Glasnow addition in the rotation, these guys we expected them to add this year, if he's going to miss any kind of extended time, if it's more than 2 starts, I think collectively the Cubs fan base kind of looked around and went, wow, we could be fucked right now. And this is not great. And I would love to know what was going through your guys' heads with this. And what's going through your heads now, especially with the information coming out now about what it is and what they're dealing with. What do you guys feel right now about the Justin Steele situation? Because this has really thinned the Cubs starting rotation now going into at least the near future.
Yeah, it's beyond scary. I mean, I was scared the other day when he took a comebacker off of himself. So I had that same feeling of like, oh, you look at the roster, you look at the makeup, and you go, this is not looking great. And that was before Jordan Montgomery was officially signed. I even mentioned like, oh, maybe you look more into that. But they obviously did not. I feel like they're very thin there. But Justin was rolling, man. He looked great tonight. And as soon as I saw him grab that hammy, I'm like, no. Like you said, at least it wasn't the knee. But when he grabbed the hammy, I knew that he was at least out for tonight. And it's just, you know, you got to look to other places now. But it's totally unfortunate. It took the breath out of the Cubs fan base for sure. It was like on opening day, like how could this happen? So luckily he walked off on his own power. He sounds very positive about it. So we'll just have to see how it all shakes out, but definitely not something you want to lose. I mean, like you look at it and you kind of get really worried. Like you said, we might be fucked here. This could be really bad if we lose a starter. And personally, I hate to be in that position with all the depth that you have around everywhere else in the roster. It feels like it stinks that they didn't go out and make those acquisitions and build up a little more for moments like that. Like, cause you know, injuries happen and it could be your second, third starter. You never know. So
yeah,
it just stinks. But yeah,
I was going to say, especially already dealing on top of it with the James Tyone injury too. Like it's not like they're fully loaded coming into the season. They were already down a starter, Javier Saad jumping into the starting rotation as a result of that. And that now leads to a potential second starter being out of this thing. But Joey, I mean, a 16 game winner from a year ago, a 3.06 ERA, a guy that finished top five in the NL Cy Young voting, could be on the shelf for at least two starts. I mean, it's not great, Bob, but what were your thoughts going through your mind?
I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head. It's all doom and gloom when it happens. And I tried to stay positive. I really did. I still am. Cause it's a good sign that Steele at least thinks that it might not be too serious. I kind of feel like they're going to be a little bit cautious with him regardless of if it is serious or if it's not. But man, just the awkwardness of that play. I mean, great play by Steele to make that play, but
True. Just
the awkwardness of the play. And it honestly, dude, it brought back some very, very bad memories for me. I start thinking of like early in the season injuries, like Corey Patterson, Kyle Schwarber, like, you know, those really, you know what I mean? Like those are the type of memories that I get when I see something like that on opening day or this early in the season. And I know that, you know, those guys are position players and Steele's the pitcher. But if there's one guy that you can't afford to lose, like you guys said, especially because, Ron, you mentioned Tyone being out already, you felt like there was a little bit of a decent amount of depth there with the rotation. With one guy out, okay, you can shuffle things around. You have enough to patchwork it together. With Steele out, I mean, we already think this could be a potential weakness. Is the rotation, especially when we were doing a preview and Juice was talking about it and Tyler was talking about it. And the more we kept talking about it, the more worried I started getting throughout that episode. But man, it's like, that's the one guy you cannot lose, Justin Steele, especially dude, he took a no hitter into the fourth inning, which isn't anything crazy for him. But dude, the Q is almost over his strikeout total. They projected him at 4.5 strikeouts of sports books. And I think he was at 4 or 5. After two innings. So dude was absolutely rolling. And then on top of it, like he would have easily cashed his over, I think it was like 14.5 outs recorded. What a horrible beat for those people out there that took his over on out recorded outs that didn't get through the fifth inning because of this freak fucking injury. Cause he was absolutely cruising. So horrible, feel terrible for all those people. I'm one of them.
Well, I was going to say at least he if it was over under 14.5, you said
14.5 out. So he needed to get he needed to get through five innings.
Yeah, 4 2/3. That's a bad beat. That's a bad beat. But hey, man,
didn't have a pitch count. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't crazy. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Like you said, though, kudos to Justin Steele here, though. 4 2/3, just 3 hits. The 1 earned run, only 1 walk, 6 Ks. I mean, he was dealing before this injury. He very well easily could have gone 6 innings, maybe racked up 8 or 9 Ks in this one. Maybe he gives up another 2 or 3 hits in the process as well. But overall, a really strong outing. And this is, guys, where I want to transition this topic here. Of like who replaces him potentially for the course of a couple of starts, because you're already without Jameson Taillon. Game 2 is going to be started by Kyle Hendricks. Game 3 will be Jordan Wicks. We all know we're going to see Shota Imanaga in person on Monday for the home opener, and then Javier Assad wraps things up in Game 2 of that Colorado series to reset the rotation. So Justin Steele would be due up in that third game against the Rockies on Wednesday of that first or of next week. This is now where we start to wonder who's going to come in, because we've got a comment section that's kind of all over the place. And I respect this and I love this. And this is why we have the greatest comment section in all of YouTube, folks. But Scott from Iowa saying, go get Bauer. It only costs money. He's easy to cut. Rob German follows him and says +1 for Bauer as well. But then we got others. Hank saying it's Horton time, and Rob agreeing that it's probably very, very soon. But I agree with Darren here. And this is my question, because again, a guy that we shouted out on our last show that we're going to continue to shout out. He's actually down in Texas right now going to these Cubs games with his family. But our boy Bobby Foster, brand new writer here at Cubs on Tap and on the Cubs side of the house at On Tap Sports Network,
has done a great job.
And one of his articles here coming out of the spring training was Ben Brown is knocking on the door. And Darren said it here. I think we will see Ben Brown sooner than expected. Gentlemen, is Ben Brown your pick to come up and potentially make a pair or maybe a trio of spot starts if Justin Steele is unable to go? Or do you guys have somebody else in mind or another strategy in mind, like a bullpen game, for example, if the Cubs have to make do without Justin Steele for, let's call it, 2 weeks, maybe 3? I would love to know what your guys' thoughts are. I have my thought. I'll go ahead and just share it right away, and I'll keep it really close and simple. I think you give Ben Brown the shot. He looked really good in spring training. You don't have to force him to pitch 6. I think you can go into those days knowing that you're probably going to have to get at least 4 out of them. If you get 4 out of them and you can piggyback somebody for a pair of innings, then you can work your way back through that knowing that the bullpen's not going to be there. But maybe guys like Kyle Hendricks and Jordan Wicks are able to give you those 6 and 7 inning starts here. Maybe Shota gives you a 6 inning start as well. Javier Assad has shown he can go length in games. I know a lot of people are poo-pooing the fact that Assad's the 5 starter, but this was a guy last season late in the year when Marcus Stroman went down that was routinely going 7 innings in games. If you can get 6 and 7 out of 3 of the 4 guys that are not named Justin Steele coming up on the schedule, I think you get to Brown, give him 4 innings of work, and then use the bullpen to get through the rest of the game at that point. That's just my strategy. But I would love to hear from you two and see what you guys are thinking here with the situation with Justin Steele potentially down. Not all at once. No,
if we're going in order here, Nick, it would be your turn.
There is no order.
That's about what we were doing in the whole show. It's a
conversation.
All right, Nick, conversation my ass. I'll give you my conversation, my 2 cents on this. All right. I would love to see Ben Brown. Ron, I love your opinion on that. I think he's...
But.
No. Well, to hear me out before I get to the butt, because I want that to happen. I do. I don't know if they think he's ready to do it yet, even though he looked as good as he did. And I think the guy that was one of the latest cuts, like the last cuts along with Alexander Canario, I think Caden Wisniewski is probably going to get a shot here again. So I look at him more so as like a reliever at this point, because he really just has the slider and that's just about it. I mean, it's fastball slider and that's pretty much it with him. But here's the thing. If you do the piggyback thing, like you might be doing with Brown, which I would like them to do that and maybe use Smiley, for example, because it's actually like a nice kind of, you got the power of Ben Brown, the finesse of Drew Smiley, and an opposite hand. If you piggyback those two, it's actually a pretty good combo. I like it. Plus, it would make sense because Smiley pitched tonight. He's probably going to pitch again before the next time that comes around. But still, and you got off days in between there. So it would make a lot of sense. But the same thing, I don't think that the piggyback is as nice using the Wesneski and Smiley piggyback. But we did see the Cubs do that last year. Different manager, I understand that. And no Smiley, Rob German says right here. Look, I'm not saying I want Smiley in these games, but I also don't think that he's a terrible pitcher just because of what we saw tonight, right? There's some stuff going back to last year that, like, he wasn't great. But if you look at the final, like, month of the season, Drew Smiley was actually really damn good out of the bullpen. I mean, we got to give him credit there. So I'm not going to look at one outing and be like, hey, Drew Smiley fucking sucks. He might not be your answer. He's not the guy that you want in most situations. But I think it's probably going to be Wesneski is my – that's going to be my prediction. I guess I'll put it that way.
Rob German disagrees with you, Mr. Rakota. He says no Smiley. Yeah.
That's
fine. I'm gonna keep bringing it up, pretending that he's just re-commenting this because it's funny. And oh, here we go. We got another one. He says Smiley's the last person I want pitching, other than maybe Kwas, which is shared, I think, amongst some of the Cubs on Tap crew, which is kind of funny. Nick, what is your thought going into this situation?
You know, it's interesting because there's two schools of thought. There's one, you know, what we want them to do, what we think they should do, and then there's the what they're going to ultimately do. And I lean more towards Joey, where I think that they will use an existing piece to kind of piggyback, but also, like, you know, it's a scared thing, but take the majority. Like, I could see Smiley even, like, being a starter and then maybe, you know, handing the ball off and stringing together a bullpen game. Obviously the extent of the injury is going to determine a lot of that, but Ben Brown's a guy I would love to see come up and give him a shot. Like you said, just give him a shot. And what's the worst that happens? You have a bullpen that you can already put behind him rather than just go out there and do a bullpen game. You already can get maybe 3 or 4 innings from him and then fill in the rest. And then you're not putting as much tax, you know, on the bullpen and everything. So, you know, it does come down to what are they going to do for me, at least.
I feel that wholeheartedly. But, gentlemen, we'll transition away from the injury topic here a little bit and just dive into some of the good that did happen in this game, because it was still a good baseball game. I mean, despite the Cubs losing, this was the type of game that you want in a primetime national slot. Like, this fulfilled everything that baseball could have asked for on opening night. A team like the Rangers coming off a World Series win, an up-and-coming team like the Cubs who have a lot of expectations surrounding them coming into this year. Baseball is 100% back. And we can start with the bullpen, guys. I know guys like Almonte and Smiley maybe didn't have the best of nights, but Mark Leiter Jr. was nice tonight in his outing. Overall, his body of work included an inning and 2/3 of clean baseball. No walks, no hits, no runs. He punched out 3 in the process as well. What an outing from Mark Leiter. As Scott said a little bit earlier on the old X machine, there is no Mark Leiter Jr. slander here at Cubs on Tap this evening. He was sensational. And then on top of it, Hector Neris comes in and does a great job as well in the 8th inning. A big strikeout along the way of Adolis Garcia, who did damage on this Cubs team. He did walk one, gave up a hit. But have no worry, Neris got out of the inning without any damage done in his inning of work before Alzolay and Smiley ultimately allowed things to go a little chaotic. So, gentlemen, I mean, we got to be encouraged by guys like Leiter Jr., but I'm happy with what Neris did tonight, truly. But Mark Leiter Jr. was kind of the badass dude out of the bullpen for the night, because an inning and almost 2 full innings of work, no walks, no hits, no runs. He punches out 3 in the process. 3 of his 5 outs were via the strikeout. You got to really like what you saw. Again, this was a guy that last year when we were all getting ready to go to CubsCon together got DFA'd the day of CubsCon in 2023. Crazy. This year, he is entrenched as a critical bullpen piece. Just a night and day difference from a little over 12 months ago. What a night for a guy like Mark Leiter Jr. coming out of the pen.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome.
Dude, Mark Leiter Jr. is a badass.
Jesus.
When he walks off the mound in that last strikeout, like, you could just tell. Like, you just look at just the look that he gives, right? He looks back. He's got that look back of just like, yeah, I fucking did this. I got I'm this. That dude. Yeah. I'm that dude. Like, he's I'm a bad. Guy. And then going from the DFA, like you said, Ron, last year, to get in this position, to now he's such a relied on piece in the bullpen from even, you know, last year. Totally was that guy last year. One of the linchpins down there in the pen. And he comes out tonight, opening night, and does the same sort of thing. You can't really say enough about him and the job that he can do against lefties too with that splitter, because that splitter was splitting. I really think Neris, though, man, like, you know, I called it on the preview show. I said Neris might be the biggest disappointment on the Cubs this year. I can just see that happening. And he did not disappoint. Like, awesome. Awesome to see him kind of clutch up in the situation that he did with Adolis Garcia, with who had already crushed one. Could have been a very tough spot, but he was fooling him too with his stuff. So yeah, for the most part, man, the bullpen was really good. Like, they didn't really give in. It was spot. There was a couple guys that are a little spotty though. But yeah, Nick, what did you think, man?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. The bullpen was very solid. It was something in spring that I was pretty excited for as well. But Mark Leader, like, it's awesome to see him be in this position, especially after what he, you know, went through. But he could be that high leverage guy. Like, I want him to be that guy where Craig just knows, like, this is, there's going to be some guys that need to turn into that just based off of the way that Craig has managed in the past and what he's had at his disposal. We're going to need to find that guy that can just be nails. And tonight, that's what Mark Leader was. Like, he went out there and just shoved. And that's what you got to have, guys that you trust in any moment like that. But, you know, Neris is someone I'm also really high on and excited about. And I thought he had a little bit of that adrenaline going, and they settled it down. And to the Adolis Garcia at bat was a great example. I was like, hell yeah. We need someone to go get big guys out like that, because Adolis is a guy that, you know, you write a little check on that lineup and you go, he's not going to beat me. I'm not going to let him. So that was great. So, I mean, bullpen overall, like you said, Joey, there were some spots where you're like, you're not so great. Adbert, I'm a little worried about, a little bit. Like, there's things there that need working out, but it's opening day. So overall, it was a great game by the bullpen in this moment, national primetime spot. They did great. So,
Nick, I have to ask you, if he went 1 2/3, does that make him a 2 leader or just a 1 leader?
I think that's a 1 leader.
Okay. No, I got a
bunch 1.5 liter. No,
I got a bunch of balls over Mark Leiter. the leader thing threw me off.
But it's because he's saying leader. See,
he's saying leader. So he's a 2 liter. He's a 2 liter. If he's a 2 liter, what's your go-to 2 liter of pop?
Listen, if it's not my internet, Ron messing up words like Bochy, it'll be Nick messing up words
like leader, like
Mark Leiter.
I messed up Shota's name really early on badly. I was like, not even attempting again.
I think it was a Shota. It was like a Shaka Khan type of like pronunciation there. But like
a Shota Malort.
Shout out, my lord. A couple of fun comments here from some of the great people in our comment section. Darren says, starting rotation tax without Tyone out, steel injury, Hendricks age, Imanaba inexperience, etc. That bullpen spot whole game is going to be hard. Absolutely agree. And some fun ones here. Hank Rodriguez, smiley makes me frowny. Rob German, Ben Brown better than Drew Frown. Indeed. I'm in 100% agreement with that. But guys, let's talk a little bit about the bats. And I think one guy that particularly impressed here tonight, but there were a lot of extra base hits in this game. Nick Madrigal had a ground rule double. Christopher Morel, that early triple, set the tone. Seiya Suzuki, a double. Belly had a double to drive Seiya in later in the game. So, like, the Cubs were getting after Eovaldi in this Texas Rangers team in terms of hard hit balls. What was it? 5 balls off the bats of Cubs hitters in the first 2 innings were over 100 miles per hour. I mean, they were hitting the ball hard, despite it not going in their favor. But I think a guy that we really particularly need to call out tonight is a guy like Michael Busch, because even though on the surface, people probably watched this game and were like, well, you know, he was okay. He was fine. He was good. But like when you really dive in and look at what he did in this one, you know, over the course of a game, he was 1-for-2 in this one, 2 walks, and that absolutely beautiful base running at the end of the game. I mean, Michael Busch was everything people could have asked for in his first game as a Cub. Obviously, he's hitting in the 6-hole, which feels like an important spot in this lineup after those big five in the upper echelon. He's protected a little bit, quote-unquote, by Nico Horner in the 7-hole, which is really weird seeing Nico in that 7 spot. But Michael Busch, and Joey, I want to let you lead this one off because this was a guy that you were very high on tonight. And you've mentioned it a couple of times throughout the show that you wanted to dive into a little more. Michael Busch. He's 500 at the plate with 2 walks. He's getting on base a lot. He's running strong on the base paths. He had what looked like we thought was the game-winning run at one point. Really nice debut for a guy who's finding a new home here with the Chicago Cubs.
Brown, what's one of your favorite sayings that you like to do for Moneyball?
Why do we like him, Joey?
Because he gets on base.
Yes!
And he did. He did. Dude, I thought he showed a lot of poise tonight. I really did like his at-bats. Just the way that he went about it. It was patient, but there were some tough pitches that I thought he really did a nice job of laying off. And if he could do that in this lineup with a guy like Nico Horner behind him and just get on base in that 6-hole, you want a guy that's going to drive in runs, but he has the power. So we know that if he is patient, he's going to get good pitches to hit. And then, like you said, the base running. I mean, I think too, and I mentioned this, not on here, but talking, that he would have scored the run on Madrigal's liner too. That ground rule double, he would have scored the run there.
He 100% would have scored. Yep.
So he really could have had 2 runs, and you know the great base running play we know about with Jonah Heim, the miscue, which was actually he was right. It was a foul ball, understandable. That he was upset. But yeah, I really liked what we saw from Michael Busch, especially in it's his Cubs debut. He's a young kid. He just got traded. He had a lot to kind of figure out here with his new club in spring training. And so far, so good, man. Hopefully this is a good confidence booster for a guy like him who is, by all means, he's a top prospect in this game. And I don't think he's getting the hype that he really deserves because he's on the Cubs now. Like it died off a little bit because he wasn't getting the playing time with the Dodgers. And I really think that he's a top prospect for a reason. So the fact that he can come in here and plug and play, like who knows, man, maybe he can get hot early and just kind of ride that wave throughout the season. That's what I'm hoping because look at it. Look at the lefty thump. We don't have much lefty thump in this lineup outside of Bellinger. That could be absolutely crucial moving forward this season.
Nick, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, Joey definitely said exactly what I was thinking. I mean, it's a hole that we've always thought like needs to be filled at first base. So his at-bats and everything, he did look very poised. And his baseball IQ, you could just tell is like, it's off the charts. Like he's a solid ball player. And that's exactly what the Cubs need. But being able to find a new home, come out on opening day, with all the hype and all the talk around him and the trade and everything, he put that kind of to rest for now and just he was able to be very poised at the plate and had some great plate appearances. And the base running really stood out for me 100%.
Agreed. A guy that's going to be fun to watch without a single doubt over the course of 162. I'm very excited about what he brings to this team, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds over the course of a full season. Gentlemen, one quick final thought here before we get to our first segment of the show this year, and we'll elaborate on that a little further here once we get past the next topic. But I want a quick answer here. Propose a rule to fix the quote-unquote pass ball tonight. How would you handle changing the rules for potential replay here? Would you allow replay because it was a scoring play? That's my argument. Because the player came around and scored, you're allowed to challenge it. If it's a play where it doesn't result in a score, you can't challenge it. But I want to hear from you guys. Do you think because it's an incidental contact like that it should be allowed regardless? Or do you think it only should matter in instances where there's kind of a stipulation involved? I would love to quickly hear from each of you on this.
I honestly, I think what you just said is perfect. If it's a scoring play, then you review it. Otherwise, you're reviewing every little tiny. Is it foul? Is it did right. it hit the bat? What did it change the direction? But like you said, and I think Joey said it, if that was us on the other side of this thing, if this is later in the season, like
we're losing it.
We're just ripping shit apart, going nuts. So you can't have that. You can't let that determine, like, God forbid, a playoff game. Can you imagine, like, a mistake like that? So,
yeah,
I 100% think if it's a scoring play, you got to review it 100%. I didn't think about that as an option. So,
yeah. Well, I love that. I think that's a very that's a good answer, Nick. Like, I think if you're looking at it from that way of, like, you don't want too many reviews – I do like that answer. I will kind of say I don't mind if they were to review every single foul ball, because, like, how often does it actually happen that they need to review the foul balls? Like, that's kind of – and, like, two, I think the umpire is an absolute dumbass, because how do you not hear it? Yeah. Like, I understand the crowd is loud, but if you're and I'm not just calling umpires all dumbasses. I get it. Their job is super hard.
Yes, you are.
I promise you, some of them are, but I know their job because I did umpire, not to this level, obviously, but, like, it's a very hard job. You're never liked. One side or the other always hates you. That's just what happens.
Always.
But, like, dude, you're right there, and I don't know how loud it is. It's opening day. Of course, it's pretty loud, and, like, MLB, it's a little bit different. But you should be able to hear the foul tip. Like, normally you're that close to the situation, you can hear the ball hit the bat, no matter if it's a little nick or if it's a loud, like, he got a big chunk of the barrel and it's just fouled straight back. You can still hear that. So I guess I feel like the ump is a little bit of a dumbass for not knowing in that situation. That's why I think that's why Jonah Heim reacted the way he did. He's like, what do you mean? Like, didn't you hear it? You know, like, I think that's probably a big part of that. So that's why I wouldn't mind that they just reviewed a lot of these foul balls, because if you look at the home runs, what is it gone? Is it fair? Is it foul? Like, those are absolutely should be reviewable, right? So why not just make all of them? Because they're really crucial points in the game. That, let's say it's a pass ball, strike third call, right? It's a swing and miss, and it gets past the catcher, and he's saying it's a foul tip, but it's a swing and miss, and the batter takes off for first, and he gets a free base out of it. I mean, that's a big chunk point of the game. If that base runner becomes the tying run in the ninth, in this case, it was the leading run because somebody actually came around and scored on the play. But, you know, you get what I mean. I think I would prefer them just to go ahead and challenge it. Why not? You have the capability to challenge things now. So, like, let's take advantage of the technology and just freaking use it.
But yeah. Would you cut it off, like, at the batter's box? Is that the rule? Because, you know – what happens a lot is the ball going over the base. And like they said, it's not reviewable from the first, like third base, first and third base. Once the ball goes past there, it can be reviewed. Like the line.
I see what you're saying.
But see, yeah, that's what
I wouldn't cut it off. I wouldn't cut it off.
Yeah. I wouldn't cut it off either, because there's a lot of plays where you're like, that is clearly a fair ball. And they called it foul. It goes right over the bat. And you're like, how did you miss that? But it's a they say on the broadcast, it's a judgment call. A judgment call. They don't want
it. It doesn't have to be, though. Like,
like, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's stupid. It really is stupid. There are so many close calls. Like, dude, and that's what I'm saying. Umps, and I know I was just calling the one a dumbass, but umps have a very hard job. Like, the ones on each baseline, especially.
They're all dumbasses.
They're hard. But they're all dumbasses still, because you're not reviewing it. That's why you're a dumbass.
Yeah,
fair. Use the technology that's at hand, and it's not I think there's so much ego that goes into being an umpire sometimes that, like, they aren't willing to use the tools at their disposal. But I think the goal should be, let's get the job done and do it right. And if you do all of that, at the end of the day, all things are good. Scott says no rule change. The casual was told it was a live ball, and he continued to argue.
Dude, Scott's
ruthless.
Such a Cubs fan, man. He is such a Cubs fan. He doesn't give a shit if it was right or wrong. If it was right for the Cubs, it was right.
It was good for the Cubs.
It was right for the Cubs. It was right. And if it was the other way, Scott would have been in here being like, tear the whole franchise down and tell these umpires to go fire to the sun. No, we love you, Scott. We appreciate you, buddy. Hey, last moment of the show, guys, before we look at what's on tap next. We're introducing this as a first segment. So we're going to try and do some more segments in this show this year. Things that make it fun, things that people can look forward to, things that maybe people can contribute their own advice or just answer to a part of a segment. The first one, Joey came up with this just before we went live here tonight. It's the sour juice moment of the game. And this is a good one. And I'll go ahead and lead things off here. And my first sour juice moment of the game is Juice picking the fucking Cubs to lose in our group chat earlier. Juice just speaking weird shit into existence. So if you're not happy about tonight's result, go to @JuiceOnTap on the old X app. You can yell at him and you can do what you want to on Friday when the Cubs don't play. But Juice telling the Cubs that they're going to lose tonight. He goes, LOL, they're going to lose. And then they lose. And that's my sour juice moment of the game, is because Juice was being sour and he was a sour juice. So it's a big, weird conundrum to start this thing off for the first one. But gentlemen, quickly, your sour juice moments of the game.
That's why we have this segment now.
That's why it exists. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know, Nick, I don't know what you have.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's a little out of the box, but it's 100% my sour juice moment. Top of the seventh. If Nicky Madrigal just has one more spoon of Wheaties in the morning, that ball hits off the wall. It's not short and jumps over the wall. It just goes deep and bounces off the wall. Michael Bush scores. Game's very different at that point.
Could you hold on really quickly? Could you imagine that being your home ballpark? That would give me anxiety. That ballpark feels like the easiest ballpark to hit balls out of.
Yeah.
Like that ball just goes. It's kind of terrifying. Like if I, even as a Texas Rangers player, I'd be like, this is too much anxiety for my liking. Like the ball flies here, that short porch and right's like what, 374? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's too much. I don't like it personally, but I get it. But I'm right there with you, Nick. That's a fair point. Nick Madrigal needed his extra bowl of Wheaties this morning. Gentlemen, we're going to round out the show here with what's on tap next. Cubs have an off day on Friday, so no baseball tomorrow. Enjoy your Friday evening. #crack'em. Even though the weekend starts today on Thursday, we implore everybody to have this great start to the weekend and a successful Friday. But the Cubs are back in action on Saturday night to 6:05 start on Marquee Sports Network against the Rangers. They'll replay it quickly then on Sunday. It's a 1:35 start on Easter Sunday. Again, that is also expected to be on Marquee Sports Network. And then after that, we will all be together for a beautiful and friendly 1:20 start at beautiful Wrigley Field on Monday against the Colorado Rockies. Chris Bryant will be back at Wrigley Field once again. And the Cubs make the home opener. It'll be a beautiful day. We'll be out at Murphy's Bleachers bright and early. We encourage you, if you're at the ballpark, please let us know you're going to be in the vicinity at Cubbies on Tap on the socials, or at Loose on Tap, at Joey Knows Nothing, or at @Nick_on_tap. Let us know you're going to be there. Tell us what's up. Come have a beer with us. Come chat it up. We're going to have a great time. We're going to get after it before the 1:20 game. We're going to get after it after the 1:20 game as well. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. And I think every single one of us is so, so, so excited to be together on opening day. It's going to be a great time, so please do be a part of it, and that's what's on tap next. Quick comment here from Scott before we round things out. He says, sour juice of the night, Steele getting hurt after remembering Mitch predicting Steele would be the biggest disappointment. That's a big shot at the Dingers podcast, and if you want to go follow our friends over at Dingers, they do a great job. At Dinger Cubs on the socials, they were live last night with their season prediction show. Steele was the biggest disappointment for Mitch, and now Scott's calling Mitch out for picking him as his biggest disappointment. That is neither here nor there. There's nothing we can control, but we do appreciate our friends over at the Dingers podcast. So be sure to check them out. Be sure to check us out as well at Cubbies on Tap on the socials. We are also, again, at Joey Knows Nothing, at Loose on Tap, at @Nick_on_tap, at Juice on Tap, and at Teddy Freddy 270 round out our podcast group. Be sure to follow at Silent Bob _2, as Mr. Bobby Foster, our brand new writer. He's been killing it and doing a great job. Be sure to give him a follow and lots of love throughout the course of this season. And you guys know the drill. On Tap Sports, and it has it all. Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks, we got everything. The Bears got plenty going on with the draft. Bulls are in a state of mediocrity that we don't understand. The Blackhawks are they're on the up and up, but they suck right now. And the White Sox are the White Sox, but you got friends that like them, and so do we. So send your friends our friends. They can be friends over at Sox on Tap, the On Tap Sports Net. Go ahead and check out what's on tap on Chicago Sports, www.ontapsportsnet.com. Darren says, let's go, Cubs. I agree with him. Let's go, Cubbies. Opening day is in the books. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure jumping on the microphone with you. We will likely be back on Sunday night. That is at least the game plan. It might not work out that way, but that is our hope. That'll be a little bit of a weekend recap, probably a very quick show live, probably between myself and Mr. Tyler Edmonds. And then we will probably be back with you guys more likely than not on Wednesday to conclude that Colorado series. We'll do a series recap after that one. A lot of guys going to the first two games. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, figuring out schedules and who could get on the microphone. But then we'll start to settle into the usual schedule that you guys are accustomed to here at Cubs on Tap. And it will be an absolute blast over the course of the marathon season. I am Ron Luce from Joey Ricotta, from Mr. Nick Hudson. We appreciate you guys joining us here on opening day. Cubs lose 4-3, but a beautiful game to start off the season. Off day on Friday. They're back in action on Saturday night from Arlington, Texas. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure joining you guys on the microphone as always. First regular season recap show of the year. Second episode of this sixth season. We're in our sixth year of Cubs on Tap, guys. This is bananas. We've been doing this for a long time. But what do you guys say, guys? We get out of here the only way we know how, Cubs on Tap, to start off another season of Cubs baseball.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Monday, baby. Go Cubs.
And fuck the Cardinals.
Absolutely. And let's go, Cubbies, boys.